أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at تربية أولاد, or upbringing of children, and the subject at hand at the moment is communication. Yesterday we looked at empathic listening, because within communication you have listening and you have a dialogue. We looked at the correct way of listening, and we had basically three major aspects to it. One was an intention to understand what is being said, an intention to actually listen and not just to hear. The second was to make sure that we give the full attention to our child when he or she is speaking. And finally, the feedback, to give a feedback to what the child has said. And this we will talk about later on. Today I'd like to look at dialogue, and remember yesterday I said not monologue but dialogue. Very often dialogue is like a ritualistic conversation. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam, how are you, how was your day at school, and that's it. And we don't want to do any more of the talk because we're too busy within ourselves. That's not a dialogue, although both are sort of speaking and answering. In fact, I was reading a statement from a writer who said, we can go weeks, months, years, never meeting each other, although we live with each other. You know, sometimes we live like we're in press conferences, saying exactly the things that we want the other person we think wants to hear, and then we finish off the conversation. That's not dialogue. And again, I repeat that it should not be monologue. And again, monologue is not just one person speaking. There are two people involved, but each takes a turn to be quiet. And literally, the characteristic of a monologue is where you want a certain response from the person across. And you do not want them to express themselves, but to respond in the way that you want them to. Probably, I'd like to call it in a harsher form called coercion. And we do that a lot with our children. We expect a certain answer. And because of that, and children know that they're dependent upon us, and they know that they need us, so they learn to be coerced. Now, real dialogue, if I can say, to be able to call something a dialogue, there's a couple of ingredients that we need. The first must be, again, an intention. Everything we begin in has to be an intention. There must be an intention to share. The second ingredient is that there should be mutual respect. And by this I mean that you're trying to communicate that you value your point of view, but you also value the point of view of the other person and you're willing to consider it. To be able to maintain these requirements, there is a need for honesty and there is a need for affirmation or integrity. When I talk about honesty, you know, children aren't born with opinions or any ideas. Children, especially infants, they express whatever they experience. If they're sad, they cry. If they're hungry, they will shout it out. Infants especially, they actually express their experience 100%. And that's one of the joys of being around children. There is no deception. They're not capable of deception. They have 100% integrity. They affirm their experiences, their feelings 100%. But then comes a point in their lives somewhere where they know that there are some experiences that cannot be expressed. It's a learning curve. Let me give you an example. Suddenly a young child comes up and tells you, I'm so angry with you. And mom says, don't ever talk to me like that. And the child learns not to express some feelings and some experiences. Now, I'm using one that is validated. It's valid to tell a child that he or she cannot say, I'm angry. But the response from the adult must not be one of suppression. Otherwise, the child learns to suppress and then to edit and to monitor. Remember, children learn that These people I need to survive on, and therefore what they don't like I will not do, although I feel to the contrary. And slowly within themselves, because there is not a real dialogue, we're building up this hypocrisy within them. We're programming them to be dishonest. Now, a word of caution, I'm not saying that children should say what they think and feel whenever they feel and think. There has to be a level of discipline. Let me give you an example of what children are like and what we make of them. I remember when my eldest two children were very, very young. And I remember I was nursing the younger one and the phone rang and the older one picked up the phone. She was barely 5 years old. And I said, "Can you tell them mommy's not in?" And she said, "Mommy says that mommy's not in." That's the honesty of a child. I learned the harsh way never, ever to teach a child to lie in that sort of way. Now, as a child grows older, if I were to tell this to an older child, they may possibly have acceded to my requests. Otherwise, they may have thought that they would get my anger. Honesty in a conversation, in a dialogue, is extremely important. All the cards must be put on the table. It's not a political game. It's not trying to deviously find out information from a child. It's actually being honest. Because if you're honest with them right from day one, they will be honest with you. But remember, I'm not saying, again I repeat, it's not thinking and feeling, saying what you think and feel. It's being disciplined and saying what you think and feel in a disciplined, honest manner. And we'll look at some examples as we go along. The second thing, or the second requirement to be able to have this conversation, is affirmation or integrity or validation. To ensure that the other person, you are communicating to the other person, to the child in this case, that they are worth it, that you respect their view. Now, how do you do that? There's three things. One, you've got to ensure that the communication is relevant. Let me give you an example. If a little one came back from school and said, "Ma, I drew a house today." I've just walked into the house and you say, "Can you take your shoes off? Can you put your coat away? And can you please go and have a glass of milk? And then can we read Quran?" It's not relevant. You're actually telling her it's not important what you're saying. So listen to me first and then maybe we'll talk about the house. The messages that we relate to them when we communicate to them must be very clear, not mixed messages. "Ma, can I go to my friend's house today?" "We'll see, maybe." Rather than sit down and say, "Well, it's not very convenient today. Let's have a look at the diary and see what day is convenient." It must be a clear message. Even if it has to be yes or no, not mixed wishy-washy messages. They do not affirm someone. A child goes away, even us as adults, we go away feeling unfulfilled. And finally, there must be acceptance. By acceptance of a child's views, I don't mean that we are saying we agree and approve. All a parent is saying is that I accept that you feel like this, and maybe if I were in the same situation as you, I would have felt like that too. It's very important to be able to communicate that. Let's look at a very simple example. You dropped your 6-7-year-old to school. When you came back home, you wanted to go to the local shops to do some shopping. And when you opened your purse, there was £5 missing. You knew there were £5 in there. You'd put it there the night before, so it must have been there. Well, your first instinct was to call your husband and say, "Did you take £5 from my purse?" And he said no. Now there's only you, your husband, and your child in the house. So all morning you're seething because you've come to the conclusion that it's your child who's taken this money. Now we're going to look at a dialogue that may occur if we don't know how to deal with the situation. If we don't have honesty and integrity in our conversations, this is possibly what might happen. As you go to pick your child up after 3 o'clock, in fact, you would have picked him up earlier if you could have. But you pick it up the moment he gets into the car, salam alaikum, alaikum salam. Did you take money from my purse? And the immediate answer is no. But I know you did. No, I didn't. And I will not go on as to what the conversation may ensue onto. Immediately by asking that question, you are putting up a confrontation with your child. Now say you dealt with it with empathy, empathic listening, and you dealt with it with real, true, honest dialogue. The child came into the car. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. You're a little bit quiet. And maybe the child will say, Mom, is everything okay? Maybe they're very young, they will not ask. But you will get home and you'll say, I think we need to talk. And you may say that today, when I came back after dropping you from school, I opened my purse and I saw that £5 are missing. So I thought, well, maybe your papa took it. So I called your papa and he said he didn't. So then I thought, the only other person in the house is you, so you may have taken the money. Now I know that you know it's wrong to take money without asking permission. So maybe you need to talk, we need to talk about this. Now here you see we have three aspects. The communication is relevant. You've actually been very honest and said exactly what has happened during the day. You're very clear that you're sure that your child has taken the money. But you're also saying that to the child, you're giving a clear message that you know that he knows that it is wrong to take money without asking. And therefore, what you're trying to do is to be able to find out the problem of what's going on. If a child is brought up in an honest household where there isn't any problems, then if a child does take money, there is a genuine problem behind it. And that's what you're trying to get at. You're not trying to address the symptom. You're trying to look at the cause. And that misbehavior actually shows that there's something else going on in the child's life. Now say the child said that nobody wants to play with me in the playground, nobody plays football with me, they all leave me alone, so I thought I'd go down the sweet shop, buy some sweets and share them, and maybe they will become my friends. You'll have a totally different response, and you may then talk about the fact that very often we as good people, because we try to rectify a situation, we make bad decisions. And you're trying to understand why, and then you will talk to the child, how the child will pay you back, how he will make you right, how he will make the situation right. You are not approving, you are not agreeing, you're not in agreement with the behavior. But you are accepting the fact that the child may have felt like that. And you're dealing with the situation in a way that may produce a better result. Remember, there's a hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam when he says, take the initiative to talk to your children, to your young ones, before they are overcome by their instincts. It's very important. Communication is an art to be learnt. One of the signs of a Muslim is disciplined talk. Inshallah, we will continue with this. We will look at ways in which we can instill respect or make sure that our children have got self-respect. And like I said before, we will look at the difference between discipline and punishment.